Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for another day. Thank you for another opportunity. Thank you for this time to stand here with Good Shepherd Baptist Church and lift up my voice, dear Heavenly Father, that I might be able to preach the word and rightly divide the word of truth, Lord. Lord, I ask that you prepare those who are hearing today, and I ask that you prepare my heart and my mind and my lips to speak the truth and according to the way that it is written, dear Heavenly Father. And I just pray that with all that is said, with all that's within me, with all that I have, that the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, be lifted up high and above all other names, that you might be glorified, that men's lives might be challenged, and that souls might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. And we're going to talk about a debt he could not pay. A debt he could not pay. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. In this time in 2016, we spend an awful lot of time. In fact, we spend an inordinate amount of time dealing with somebody's done me wrong. Somebody owes me something. Do you know who I am? I was talking to a brother the other day, and we were talking about our financial woes growing up being businessmen and having our own businesses. And he said, Willie, he said he was an electrician. He said, I had 80 men working for me. I had people, jobs going from New York City to Los Angeles, California. He said, and when the money started drying up, people would talk to me, my accountants would try to warn me that I was heading in the wrong direction. And I'd say to them, do you know who I am? And he said, well, after he hit the bottom, like his accountant said he was going to do, that's when he figured out that he wasn't who he thought he was. And the truth of the matter is, most of us, if not all of us, think way too highly of ourselves and not enough of other people. The Bible says, esteem others above yourself. That's what it says, and it's very clear, y'all. We have a song that I listened to yesterday. It was very disturbing. It was very, 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 very disturbing. It's a top hit record. And correct me, brother, if I get it wrong. It's He Saved Me Because I'm Worthy. He Saved Me Because I'm Worthy. Y'all, I was worthy to be saved. That's very, very disturbing. That's a far cry from Amazing Grace, God who saved a wretch like me. That's a far cry. We've taken a quantum leap from Bible to humanism to where we are here today. I'm not going to try to get too far off track, but don't fool yourself. The only thing that Jesus got in return for me was beat, hung on a cross, and speared, and left for dead. That's what he got for me. I got everything out the deal, not Jesus. He's worthy. He's worthy. You get this other stuff, it sounds good. It makes a nice rhythm. Oh, you take your little hanky, you wipe the sweat off your brow, and it sounds good, but it's not good in sound. It's just not in the Bible, y'all. And so that's how we end up getting, going down these tangents of where me, I. And we as Christians, as people of the book, and I challenge you, I want you to be challenged to become people of the book. So that you'll know when these things come, it'll just jump right out at you. And you'll understand the issues of forgiveness and the issues of forgiving. We're all concerned with being forgiven. We sinned against other folks. We say, oh, that wasn't that bad. Wasn't that big a deal. But now you want me to forgive you. Oh, that's a whole different ballgame. So let's go here to the scriptures. Let's see what we're going to be dealing with about this debt that he could not pay. Ushers, you may be seated. A debt that he could not pay. I'm reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, and it reads, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?' Jesus saith unto him, 'I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, let's talk about a debt he could not pay. A debt he could not pay. This is another parable. We started last week with the parables about the kingdom of heaven. Because we don't understand the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is constantly giving us these parables to let us know. When you see in the Bible when he says, therefore it is like this. I can't tell you exactly what heaven is, but I can tell you it's like this. And we learned last week from the parable of the sower that if you don't understand the parable of the sower, none of these other parables will make sense to you. Because he says to you, let those who have ear hear, and those who have eyes see. And when you understand the parable of the sower, whenever somebody is talking to you about a parable, or whenever you're reading for yourself about a parable, understand preparation of the soil is very important. That's your heart. Because if you don't have the soil prepared to receive these truths, it's going to land on the wayside. And if it lands on the wayside, that's the seed that the devil snatches up and takes away. Or it's going to land on stony ground. And when it lands on stony ground, that's the seed that the people receive it, but they never have any roots. And as soon as somebody comes against them and challenges them about their faith, they just kind of fold up. Or it's going to land on thorny ground. And the thorny ground is represented by the people who, once they hear this word, they love it. They love it. They really like it. But then the cares of this world, chasing money, chasing things, education, whatever, and all these, none of these things are inherently bad in and of themselves. But when you put them and compare them against the word of God, that's where he says the problem comes in. And last, he says some of the seed will land on good ground. And let us as individuals, let us pray that we've got our hearts prepared to be good soil that will receive this word and that it will take root. And when it takes root, you know what it does? It changes the course of your life. When we finally start taking this word of God seriously It changes the course of our life. It changes everything about how we think and how we act. When we finally look at this word and say, oh, my goodness, this is the very word of God. This is God speaking to me. This is not Pastor Will. This is not Reverend so-and-so on TV, Reverend so-and-so on the radio. This is God speaking to me. Now, am I going to listen? Am I going to listen? He's getting ready to talk to you about a parable about the kingdom of heaven. And he says the kingdom of heaven is like this. And he's talking about this issue of forgiving and forgiveness. Being forgiven and giving forgiveness. This one right here is more Peter is dealing with the issue of being forgiven. Because as I prefaced a little bit earlier, let me ask. Does everybody in here want to be forgiven? Do everybody in here want to be forgiven of their sins? Amen. Amen. Now, are you willing to forgive everybody who has ever hurt you in order to achieve that kind of purity of thought, purity of mind? And you don't have to raise your hand. I already know the answer. Are you willing to go look back over that those memory banks of yours and say, that man did me so bad. That woman did me so bad. My mother treated me like this. My father, you don't know what my father was like. Are you willing to forgive them? We're going to talk about that. See, because everybody's concerned about how many times I got to forgive these people. Look what here. We start off with. We're going to start off here. Here's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what are the rules of forgiving? What are the rules of forgiving? We're going to talk about a debt he could not pay. We're going to talk about how my conduct impacts the kingdom work. And we're going to talk about forgiving is fundamental. Forgiving is fundamental. What are the rules of forgiving? A debt he could not pay. How could my conduct impact the kingdom work? Forgiving is fundamental. Verses 21 and 22. What are the rules of forgiving? The rules for forgiving. And it reads, then Peter said to him and said, then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. Now, think about this. The lesson that we're learning today about the parable, this is all before the cross. So Jesus is getting ready to tell you what's needed and necessary before the cross, as far as forgiving and dealing with other folks. He's going to tell you before the cross. That's important that you know that. And here we are, Peter, that great disciple. He's been walking with Jesus. He's been walking with Jesus from the beginning. And he's still saying, you know, many of us, we raised in the church. We brought up in the church. I got a picture of me and the head deacon at our church. I'm about this high. I'm about knee. I can barily hold his finger. And that's a picture of me standing out in front of the church with the head deacon and my daddy. And I'm thinking, so I've been walking this walk a long time. Peter has been walking this walk a long time. And Peter's saying, Jesus. And the inference is that the person is asking for him to forgive them. Not just the person is doing wrong and they just keep doing wrong. The person is asking him to forgive them. And Peter's saying, teacher, I got a question. How many times do I have to forgive this person? This person has been juggling on my nerves for years. It's one thing after another, after another, after another.
And every time he does something, and the Bible says you don't just take people doing wrong to you. The Bible says when somebody does you wrong, you go and you talk to them. You go talk to them. And so the inference is, Judy, either be quiet or go sit in the back. Thank you. The inference is, I keep asking this, I keep forgiving this person, and they keep doing me wrong. That's just all kinds of wrong. I'm a Christian. I consider myself an okay guy. But how many times do I have to offer forgiveness to this person? And then Peter says, I know. Seven is the number of completion. Yeah, seven is the number of completion. So therefore, hey, Jesus, can I forgive him seven times then beat him up? Is it seven okay? And Jesus answers him incredulously, until seven? Seven? You think that forgiving somebody seven times is a big deal? Now, don't forget, he's talking to the king of the whole universe who's been dealing with all of us before time, during time. Seven? You think that's a big deal? Seven? Jesus says, until seven times, 70 times seven. In other words, he's not telling him 490 times. He's telling him, as long as they keep asking forgiveness, you give them forgiveness. As long as they keep asking forgiveness, you give them forgiveness. What? I'm going to stop right there. Before I go down this path of forgiveness, I want to deal with something that, because the Bible teaches us about forgiving one another. The Bible teaches us about asking God for forgiveness. But there's a topic that I have to talk about today, pretty briefly. It's very, very popular, and it's kind of like that song I just told you about. It's very, very popular. And I searched it. I could be wrong, and I'm asking somebody to correct me if I am wrong. But where in the Bible does it say we have to forgive ourselves first? I'm not the most erudite person. I'm just asking if somebody can help me out and show me where in the Bible does it say I have to learn to forgive myself? See, because I looked. Because a lot of people say, well, I can't move forward because I can't forgive myself. I got a question for you. Can the criminal offer himself leniency? Can the criminal offer himself clemency? Can the criminal offer himself a pardon? So how are you going to forgive you? I just wanted to run that one by you for a little bit because I was kind of confused myself. And I had to go back to the Bible to try to find out what should be taking place. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Because if you start with the Bible, it'll take you down the right path and it'll keep you on the right path. Psalm 51, 1 through 4. And here we have the aftermath of King David with his affair with Bathsheba. And King David, he's suffering because he's going around, y'all, and he's seeing his sins in front of him. He thinks people are out to get him. He's getting all kinds of paranoid because he has sinned and sinned grievously. And he's I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. But here's what he comes to the conclusion of in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. Ooh, don't miss that. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Church, it's not that you can't forgive yourself. It's not that you haven't forgiven yourself for that thing that's still eating you. It's that you have not taken it to the only one who can forgive you, which is God, because that's who we sin against. The Bible says sexual sin is sinning against yourself, but ultimately it's a transgression of God's law. And you have sinned against God. And we have to go to God to get forgiveness. And if you keep going to these shrinks who keep telling you, well, you got to learn to forgive yourself. You wonder why it hasn't happened yet? Because men don't have mercy on men. Men are brutal on other men. And you cannot be washed clean. And I cannot be washed clean until I take whatever it is. And I got to take it to God. And I got to throw myself at his mercy. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy, y'all. And he says, all you got to do is come. All you got to do is show up. Just come on. Just come on. Bring all your nastiness to me. Bring all your nastiness to me. And God says, when you come, just be me and you. And David said it so well. He said in verse 3, he said, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. I got a news flash for us, church. God already knows your transgressions. God already knows your sins. He's just waiting for you to come into agreement with him. David said, I acknowledge it, Lord. I know I did it. And now I'm coming in agreement with you that it was wrong, wrong, wrong. And God says, now we can move forward, church. I'm hoping I'm helping somebody out here today who's stuck. I mean, you're stuck in this wheel like a hamster because somebody told you got to learn how to forgive yourself. It ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Got to go to the Lord. And got to go to him humbly. We don't go to him making deals. We go to him humbly. He says, Peter is asking, how often should I forgive this person? Here's the reply of Jesus as we read about the debt he could not pay. Verse 23 begins, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. When you're doing a parable, you cannot extrapolate every little detail and say this is Bible doctrine. He says very clearly, this is like. And so there are some principles that he's pointing out to us as we go into the parable. And he says, this is like such and such and such and such. And you get the primary principles without trying to go down into minutia and understand, try to come up with all kinds of Bible doctrine from parables. Here he's saying the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun, verse 24, when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. In today's money, this would just stagger you. If they're talking about gold talents, in today's money, he's saying this man owed his master $72 million. Nice tidy sum, huh? $72 million is what he owed his master. You talk about a debt that you can't even begin to pay. That's worse than a car note over $800 a month. My boy across, well, I'll say it again. Boy across the street from me told me he's paying $850 a month for his car. Some of y'all saying, oh, that ain't bad, Pastor. $850 a month for a car for 7 years. That's an abomination. That's an abomination. Unless you've got a bed in a sink in a restroom in that car and it's sitting on 5 acres of land. This boy had a debt he could not pay. And his boss looked at it, his master looked at it, and he tells you there in verse 25, he says, for as much as he had not to pay, he couldn't do it. And his boss looked at it, the master looked at it, and he says, get him, his wife, and his kids. And he says, I'm going to cut my losses right now. I'm going to take the whole family, and I'm going to sell them. I'm going to sell them, and I'm going to get out of debt. I'm going to get some of this money back. I can't get all of it out of him, but I'm going to get some of this money out of him. And in verse 26, the servant says to his master, Lord, he falls down on his knees. Lord, have mercy on me. Be patient with me, and I will pay it all. Now, how is he going to pay $72 million? He got a debt he can't pay. But he says to his master, I'll do it. I'll do it. Just if you'll just have mercy on me, I'll do it. Jesus is talking about this forgiveness now, y'all. We're talking about forgiveness. And I'm going to talk to some of you teenagers out here, because we got a lot of teenagers and some younger, but especially you teenagers. You really think somebody owe you something. You really think that somebody done you wrong. Oh, I got to clean up my room. Oh, how dare you? I want you home at 10 o'clock. Oh, how can you do that to me? I want you to put that phone down. Oh, now them fighting words. You think that somebody owes you something. You got a debt you cannot pay. And Jesus is pointing out for us right here in this parable that in the kingdom of God, that's what we're building right here. That's what's going on. As folks get saved, they get added into the kingdom of heaven, and it's being put together right here, right now. And this man is concerned with one thing. Me. What are you going to do for me? And he says to his master, he says, just give me a chance. Just give me a chance and I'll pay for everything. And the Bible says that his master had compassion on him. He could, there's no way in the world he could pay his $72 million debt. There's no way in this world that he could pay a $72 million debt. No more so than you and I could ever pay God for all the, you know, when you go to the grocery store, and they say, would you like to have your receipt in paper or would you like to have it emailed to you? Do you realize that if all of your sin debt was sent to you on a paper receipt, forest would have to take cover. Trees would have to go on the run. Because if all the sins that I've done, skip yours, were put out on a receipt, I know I got a debt I can't pay. He's saying here, the master says to this man, he says, I'm going to have compassion on you. You are guilty. You are guilty. You are guilty. You are guilty. Jesus has given us a picture of something that we know about, which is the debt, to show us a picture of something that we don't know about, which is the kingdom of heaven. He goes, this is sort of kind of like how it works. The master, being God, The master says, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to have mercy on you. I'm going to have compassion on you. And I'm going to forgive you all your debt. And don't forget, we started off with Peter. Peter, a man walking with Jesus. He's a disciple of Christ, a strong disciple. Peter's saying, how many times I got to forgive people? How many times I got to forgive people? Well, the master forgave this man. The master forgave the slave. Forgave him the debt that he could not pay. But then starting in verse 28, we're going to see what happens after God has forgiven you and me. After God has offered you a clean slate. God has said to you, just like he said to the woman caught in the act of adultery, go, sin no more. That's us. That's us, y'all. Now you got a clean slate. Now you're walking out, and look what the boy does in verse 28. He went out looking. He says, but the same servant went out and found. That means he went out searching. He went out searching for one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Church, the master, think of God, think of you, think of me. The master forgave this man $72 million, a debt he could not pay. As soon as he got out, now he's got his freedom. He goes looking for another man who owes him the modern day equivalent of $10. I want you to look at the big picture. Look at the difference. Look at the contrast of what we owe God. We owe God the equivalent of $72 million. Cannot pay this debt. God forgives you. God forgives me. And he says, now go on. Do better. Do better. And we go out and we do just like Peter. And we start wanting to count how many times I got to forgive this joker. I got a friend of mine. He had a system for how he forgave people. I'm sure some of y'all might have a system similar to this. His system was when he's in traffic, because you know everybody got to face that rush hour traffic. When he's in traffic, if one car cuts him off, he's going to cut off 3 other people. He's looking at his own, just like Peter got righteous. I know, Jesus, I know you forgive me for all my sins and everything, but how many times I have to forgive this person? So his system of righteousness was, one person cut him off, he's going to cut off 3. He said, but if he's ever trying to get into traffic, and you know how somebody stops, I know this is kind of rare in Texas, somebody stops, and they say, come on, you can get in front of me, and you pull in. And he boldly and proudly told me, if somebody does that for me, I let at least 5 people in front of me. Made sense to him. It's the equivalent of saying 7 times, you do me wrong, I'm going to get somebody back for it. You do me right, I'm going to get somebody out for it. It's the equivalent of going out after you've been forgiven of $72 million and you grabbing a man by the throat who owes you $10. And the man who owed $10 begged him in verse 29. And he said the exact same words that the first servant used with his master. He said, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. How does my conduct impact the kingdom work? How does my conduct as a Christian impact the kingdom work? Verses 28 through 34. When you read down through there, you're going to see God has forgiven us. He's forgiven you. He's forgiven me. He's forgiven everybody who has named the name of Christ. He has forgiven us all of our sin, all of our sin. And then we go out into the world, starting in our own immediate households. And we have people who have done us wrong. Everybody in here has somebody who has done you wrong. Everybody in here has somebody who has done you wrong on numerous occasions. Everybody in here, every adult in here, knows somebody that if you give them another opportunity, they're going to do you wrong again. You know that. He says, but if they ask for forgiveness, we're supposed to forgive them. If they ask for forgiveness, we're supposed to forgive them. And we do it because we have to look at the debt that we couldn't pay. We have to look, we aren't supposed to look at our circumstance and our situation as to what they're doing to us right here, right now. We're supposed to look back on when the Lord called in my debt and I couldn't pay it. And when I asked him to forgive me, he unwaveringly, unhesitatingly forgave me. The Christian life is predicated on forgiveness. It's all about forgiveness. We all want to be forgiven, but we don't want to forgive. And God says it doesn't work that way. Because look what happens here in this parable. I told you, you get broad pictures from the parable. Look what happens in this parable. When the world, when his fellow servants, when they see how this man who they know owed $72 million, they knew that. They saw him. They saw him going to church. They saw the bumper sticker on the car with the little fish thing. Don't put that stuff on your car if you ain't going to act right. Don't be putting crosses all over your car and then running people over in the crosswalk. It gives God a bad name. And here this man is. Everybody knows, all the other servants know, he was forgiven $72 million. And all the servants know that this boy over here don't owe him but 10 bucks. And they watched him thrash this man. He beat this man, and then he had this man thrown into debtor prison for $10. What does that do to our testimonies, church? What does that do, church? And especially when it's in our own house, when husbands won't forgive wives and wives won't forgive husbands, and God help these children who think somebody owe you something. You ain't paying no rent. You ain't bought no car. Ain't bought no food, and somebody owe you something. Can't you wake up in the morning and say, Mama, Daddy, thank you. Thank you. Because before you even knew who you were, they were taking care of you. You didn't even know your own. You couldn't even spell your own name. And they were taking care of you. And now all of a sudden you done got so high and holy and smart, they've gotten stupid. Children, you better wake up. Children, you better wake up and you better humble yourself before God, because God's no respecter of persons. In fact, the proverb says, now a lot of old folks will give you, they'll cut you like slack. They'll say, well, he's just a kid. The proverb says, even a child is known by his ways. Guess what, children? That means God's keeping track of you too. And he's showing us how to do things. And he's showing us that path of forgiveness, you just don't understand how sweet it is. You know how sweet it is to be forgiven, but you don't know how wonderful it is to forgive somebody and they have nothing to give you in return. It's just like with Jesus. We don't have anything to give him in return other than thank you. And sometimes we're in those same situations or similar situations where somebody has done us wrong. For I mean, they have legitimately done you wrong. But they come to you and they say, I'm sorry. They say, I'm sorry. Church, the world is watching. Just like these fellow servants were watching. The fellow servants were watching what transpired between the man and the man who owed him $10. And they were watching. And they were aghast. They were stupefied. They were, oh my goodness, how could you do this? See, that's what happens to our testimony in front of the world when we clamor and bust heads against each other in the house of the Lord. People in the house of the Lord don't even speak to each other anymore. Don't even speak to each other. Walk past each other like they're total strangers on a subway. They'll give more deference to a dog on the street than they will to a brother or a sister. Because somebody hurt me. But why don't you do something big? Why don't you do something, I dare say, godly? You're never so much like Jesus as when you forgive. You're never so much like Jesus as when you forgive. When you forgive somebody for something that they have truly done wrong, and you can hang on to it, y'all, but he says, forgiving, we're going to come up our next part. Our next part's going to be forgiving is fundamental. It's absolutely, positively fundamental. The other servants, they saw how this man, how does my conduct impact the kingdom? Verses 28 through 34. The other servants saw how he treated the one man who needed the money. They saw how he treated him. And look what they did, y'all. They went back to the master. And they went back to the master and they said, you know what? That guy that you forgave all that money, that guy that you forgave all that money, as soon as you let him out, he went and he grabbed a guy who owed him $10. And when the man begged him to forgive him the $10, he wouldn't do it. Everybody in the world, even if they don't know any Bible whatsoever, because Jesus, when he's giving you this parable, he's giving you an earthly situation to give you a spiritual illustration. Everybody in the world knows that that's all kinds of wrong. That's as wrong as two left feet. Somebody has forgiven you $72 million, and now you won't forgive a man with a $10 debt. So they go back. The world goes back to the owner. And they say, we saw him. We saw him. And we saw what he did. He put the man in debtor's prison. But what happened next? The owner, the Lord, called the man back in. He called the man back in. And he said, look at this picture. Look at this picture, church. He said, I forgave you this much. And when this man over here, when we're confronted by God, and this man over here owed you so little, and you refuse to have, when it was within your power to have compassion on this man, and you refused to have compassion. And the Bible tells us that the landowner, you know what he did, church? The Bible says that the landowner turned the man over to the tormentors. He took that man and he called him back into custody and he said, wait a minute. If you won't at least forgive somebody a $10, you need to pay me my money. And it says he turned him over to the tormentors. Today we call them bill collectors. Those people who they track you down electronically and every other way that they possibly can. Because you got a debt you can't pay. So they're coming after you. You got a debt you can't pay. But what does God do? I showed you in the physical world, we you know, the bill collectors, when you don't pay your debts, the bill collectors. But does God do that? Does God do that with saved folks? Turn your Bibles to Romans 11, 22. And it reads, "Behold, therefore, the goodness," we all know that part about God. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." Are you going to lose your salvation? That's not talk about salvation. That's talk about interrupting your relationship. We say it every first Sunday in 1 Corinthians. He says, because of unconfessed sin in our lives, God said, for this reason, some of you are sick. What are some of those unconfessed sins? We refuse to forgive people for things they have done wrong to us. They have done wrong, but now they come and they ask for forgiveness. And we refuse to forgive them. And God says, for this reason, some of you, some of us, are sick. Let's say turn them over to the tormentors. And for this reason, some of us are asleep. Young folks, mature folks, listen to this word. Listen to this, because you got a lot of stuff going on in your mind. You've seen a lot of stuff online, and you've heard a lot of nonsense on TV, and a lot of the stuff, we don't even get it from anyplace else. The Bible actually says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. All the TV and the computer does is bring it out. It's already there. So I'm saying, children, learn. From these words, learn from this parable. There are things that are distasteful to us. We think everybody owe us, but the fact of the matter is, we owe some folks too. We owe some folks some forgiveness, and we owe some folks some thankfulness. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I know you don't want to hear them. I know you don't want to hear them. Don't mean anything, y'all. Don't mean anything, kids. Your parents brought you into this world to love you, and they may not be doing the job that you think they need to be doing, but they're still feeding you, they're still clothing you, they're still providing you shelter, and they still love you. At some point, all that stuff, and I'm talking directly to my teenagers, at some point, all that stuff that you get, all that angst that you have inside of you about your mama and your daddy and whoever else it is, your teachers, whoever else it is that you got it in you, you got to go to the Lord. You got to go to the Lord. You got to say, Lord, I'm the one who's sinning. I'm the one who's holding all this junk. Lord, cleanse me. Search me. And cleanse me. Grown folk, you got aches and pains that you can't get rid of. You got aches and pains that the doctor done told you, I don't know what it's from. I can't find nothing. You need to check yourself. You need to check yourself and you need to find out. What am I holding? What am I holding inside of me that I need to take to the Lord? Don't talk about forgiving yourself. You can't offer yourself a pardon, but you can take it to the Lord. You can humble yourself and you say, Lord, I got a debt I can't pay. I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against you grievously. I sinned against you. Lord, will you forgive me? Will you clean me up? will you clean me up? We talked about what are the rules of forgiving, a debt he could not pay, how does my conduct impact the kingdom work? And last, forgiving is fundamental. It's something we don't want to hear. Give me some stuff about blessing, preacher. Give me some stuff about making some money. Give me some of that hallelujah, happy. This is happy because when you learn to forgive, it takes that weight off of you because you got to carry hate. Hate is a hard burden, y'all. Hate is a heavy, heavy load. And when we learn to forgive, oh, it's like somebody taking 1,000 pounds. I told you before, I'll tell you again. A man owed me a very large sum of money that I had worked for really hard, and I had paid all my bills, I had paid all my help, and I had paid all my rentals, and then he just looked at me and he just laughed at me. And he owed me a large sum of money, and he just laughed at me and said, I'm not going to pay it. Just not going to pay it. And the hatred, the anger that I had, I was making everybody in my house miserable. Some of y'all in here, some of y'all, because of the stuff that you're dealing with, people can't even be around you. Because you won't let it go. So now every time they try to approach you, you got all this angst in you, this anger, this hatred. And finally, as I set up pondering how to get back at this man, my wife encouraged me, just let it go. She said, just let it go. Just ask the Lord to take that hate. And it was raw, unbridled hate. Take that out of my heart. And y'all, I'm not giving you theoretical stuff. I've learned a lot in this book, but I'm not going to give you some theory right now. I'm going to give you some anecdotal what took place. When I finally said, Lord, if I hadn't put my trust in that man, had I put my trust in you? See, because I was counting on old Joker to get me out the hole, y'all. See, that was the sin issue. I worked hard. I'm an honest businessman. But the sin was I was counting on this boy to get me out the hole instead of counting on God. And when I finally said, Lord, take it away. Take it away. That night, for the first time in a long time, y'all, old boy's name didn't even come up in my mind. I was listening to music. I was going to sleep. It was like somebody took 1,000 pounds off my chest. Because at some point in time, this word has to land on good ground. I spent most of my life as wayside, stony, and thorns. And now at this stage of my life, I'm finally saying, Lord, will you give me some good ground? Will you let me flourish in your word? Will you give me what I need to be able to love the unlovable? To be able to forgive those I don't want to forgive? If you ask that, y'all, this parable is saying to you, if you're wayside, if you're stony, if you're thorns, make your prayer today, Lord, make me good ground. Make me good soil so that every time, every word that drops from your mouth moves me another step in the right direction. Would you do that for me, Lord? Because, Lord, I need your forgiveness. I want you to know, based on the word of God, his answer will always be, yay and amen. Yay and amen. No matter how far you've gotten out, no matter how far you've gotten away from him, he said, if you just stop and turn, my answer to you will be yay and amen. Let's talk about how forgiving is fundamental. The last verse. He's given them this entire picture of this parable. And he told them about the landowner who had the money, the servant who owed the $72 million, and then how the servant would not forgive a guy who had owed him $10. And he says, Jesus ties it all together. He says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye, don't miss this, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. Jesus says, there's a qualifier there, y'all. He didn't say, if you say you forgive everyone. He said, if you don't forgive them from your heart. That cuts to the quick. If you don't forgive them from your heart, it's one thing to say, I forgive you. It's another thing to forgive. And he says, if they ask for forgiveness, you forgive them. Now, I told you all this was being spoken of before the cross. Now, if we were supposed to conduct ourselves like this before the cross, how much more those of us, people of the book, people of the way, people who at the city of Antioch were first called Christians. And why were they called Christians? Because they acted like the Christ. They didn't name themselves Christians. The world started calling us Christians before we gave ourselves the name Christians. Now that we've come beyond the cross, if it was this way before the cross, how much more so after the cross? Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. If I owed a debt before, how much more so now? Look what takes place at the cross. At the cross, I'm telling you, forgiveness is fundamental. At the cross, while Jesus is on the cross, he's hanging, he's been beaten, his beard has been plucked out, he has been despised and spit on. On the cross, it is written, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Saints, I want you to take an inventory today. I want you to take an inventory of your life. Be ye young, be ye old, be ye middle-aged. I want you to take an inventory of your life. And I want you to come clean. Because Jesus said, we were all part of putting him on the cross, y'all. That's what the Bible says. We all had a hand in the execution of Jesus. And the Bible says, he looked down at us and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If it was fundamental for us to forgive other people before the cross, how much more can those of us who have been forgiven so much? We aren't forgiven just what we've already done. We're forgiven what we're doing now, and we're forgiven of what we may end up doing tomorrow. What kind of love is that? That's the love of God. And when you and I take on this same attitude, when you and I take on this same mindset, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, because they don't know you, most likely. They definitely don't know you how they should know you. But Father, would you forgive them? He's asked for forgiveness. Will you forgive them? And Father, will you give me? Will you give me? It's cool if you get my neighbor, Lord, that's cool. If you get my brother, if you get my sister, that's cool. But Lord, will you get me the ability to please forgive the folks who come against me at time to time? Give me the ability to offer them forgiveness, Lord, and let me base it on the fact that I once had a debt that I couldn't pay. But Jesus came into my life. And look at this. Look at this. I don't want you to miss this. In the parable, thank you, Lord. In the parable, the servant says to the master, he says, Master, forgive me, I'll pay it all. Forgive me, I'll pay it all. Put this book, put this word in your vocabulary. Propitiation. Propitiation. God did us better than that. The master begged, the slave begged the master for forgiveness. And the master had compassion on him, forgave him a $72 million debt. But for us, propitiation. God looked at us and God said, you have a debt you cannot pay. And Jesus didn't wait for you to cry, help me, help me, help me. Jesus stepped up and he said, God, I'll pay the penalty for them. I will pay the propitiation. I will do what's required to satisfy the debt. And all I'm asking them to do is believe that I did it. Oh, man, that's good stuff, y'all. That's good stuff. We're on the easy side of things. He says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And all those sins, all that debt that you've accumulated, all that debt that I've accumulated during my life of rebellion, he says, I'll take it and I'll cleanse you white as snow. I'll take the blood of Jesus and I'll cleanse you white as snow. Church, I'm not going to ask you if you have a debt you can't pay. I want you to recognize that you have a debt you can't pay. And I want you to know that if you haven't asked God for forgiveness of this debt, if you haven't, I word it differently, if you haven't received the free offer, the propitiation, if you haven't received the free offer of the cleansing of that, I want you today to say, Lord, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. I'm tired of carrying around this burden. I'm tired of carrying around this hate in my heart. I'm tired of trying to keep track and count how many people have done me wrong so I know how many people to do wrong. I'm tired of it, Lord. I want to satisfy you. I want to live for you. And the Bible says if you'll do that, he is just and faithful to forgive us, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness and forgive us of all of our sins. Church today, if you understand that you have a debt that you cannot pay, I want you to come. I want you to come and I want you to ask the Lord. I want you to turn your life over to the Lord and say, Jesus, take me. Would you come? Would you come? God bless you.